against Venom.
Obsoleto.
Correct.
2023,
the year
geek,
the end of the year, we're always reviewing the technology from the computer, current year 2023,
games,
looking ahead to the future,
geek,
all the obsolete
technology,
the stuff that's coming back that you thought was gone,
gadget
that was obsolete now coming back. So
games,
enjoy this episode.
Discs,
2023 retro technology flashback.
VR,
any of your voicemails and comments, what you're buying,
TV
you're not buying,
nerd,
what's coming back from the past,
geek,
obsolete,
nerd,
video games, gadgets, phones, printers,
CRT,
computer,
CD,
video game consoles,
buzz,
arcade game,
cassettes,
Raspberry Pi computer,
joystick,
Commodore 64, VIC-20, Atari, Atari 2600, Atari Flashback, ColecoVision, Intellivision, joystick, printers,
discs,
dot matrix paper, floppy disk,
D&D,
Happy New Year, video games, cartridges,
VHS,
sets, maybe some like old school boomboxes, action figures, more Rubik's Cube,
Electronic
Man, Smurfs, role-playing games,
Star Wars,
Beacon Spell,
Star Trek action figures,
and of course some video games.
Aww.
Obsolete, oh, you're listening to Man Behind the Machine.
He-Man,
2023, Flashback,
Ackman,
what's the best in 2023,
Galaga,
oh, this is sounding more like a wish list to Santa Claus, but it's a throwback, you know, and sometimes these things overlap, so happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everybody.
What kind of secrets?
Secrets, you know, like Santa Claus secrets.
Aww.
Or Christmas secrets, you know?
CRT TV.
Secrets, you know?
NES.
You know, there's got to be some secrets for Christmas, right? What'd you think?
Yeah. But I want to see the secret.
Oh, secret. Retro secret.
Retro.
Secret.
Secret.
Show me the retro secret.
I'm scooping yourself.
Show me the retro secret.
Hey, don't do that. Don't
you listen
do
to
that.
Man Behind the Machine. Obsoleto. Retro secret.
Scoop, I'm scooping you.
Secret
scoop,
Santa.
Scoop, I'm scooping you.
That's what it should be. Retro secret Santa.
Scooby-Doo, where are you? I need some help from you now. Scoop, scoop, scoop.
Happy New Year from Man Behind the
Merry Christmas.
Have yourself.
Bulldozer, I'm a bulldozer. Scoop, scoop, scoop. Why are you moving?
Yeah, me and Mr. Man just got a retro throwback of a mini truck digger, Tonka truck digger from the 80s that they miniaturized. Obsolete all.
Can I do the Scooby song?
Yeah.
Scoop, 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 scoop. You, I'm a Scooby bulldozer. Scoopy, scoop, scoop, scoop. I'm a Scoop bulldozer. I mean bulldozer. Scoop. Scoop, scoop, scoop. I'm Scoop. Scooby bulldozer. scoop, scoop, I'm your scoop, happy as a Scoopy Lee.
So we're going to look back at 2023, all the things that we have published this year, including the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest, which we got a lot of good feedback and listens on that. So I recorded a lot of hours and spent a lot of time putting the material together. So thank you again for your support. We're going to continue trying to find some obsolete technology, of course.
My turn.
Right? Sure, it's your turn.
Cheese,
what do you want to talk
about? Pizza. Cheese,
you want
cheese.
Okay.
Cheese, pizza. Cheese, cheese, cheese. Cheese, pizza. Cheese, cheese, cheese. Your turn.
Cheese pizza. Mr. Man wants cheese pizza. We're going to get soon. So, yeah.
From Jack.
Whoa. Okay, let's go get it.
Obsoleto! I'm a Scoop Man.
Noel, Noel. Na 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 na. Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays from Man Behind the Machine. Silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling, Man Behind the Machine.
Hear them ring,
Man Behind the Machine. Obsoleto, Man Behind the Machine. Retro 2023. Flashback. You can never go wrong with Atari cartridges or Nintendo or Sega. You know, cartridges for the Commodore 64 or VIC-20. Never go wrong. Those are always great stocking stuffers. I'll be sharing some photos of cartridges that I got that I put underneath the Christmas tree.
computers, Commodore 64, Atari 2600, Apple II, IBM PC, ZX Spectrum, Commodore VIC 20, TRES 80, Atari 800, Sinclair NES, Nintendo Entertainment System, Sinclair ZX Spectrum, Commodore Amiga, Atari ST, Macintosh 128K, IBM PC, JR NEC PC 8801, NEC PC 9801, Tandy TRES 80, NEC PC 98, 1982, IBM PC XT, 1983, Atari ST, 1985, 1. Acorn Archimedes, 2. BBC Micro.
Game over, the tech that died in 2023. Another year, another crop of tech products and services that were unplugged, powered down, and erased from the web. Pour one out for the tech that had its last hurrah in the last 12 months. Chloe Albanesius. By Chloe Albanesius. Updated the 20th of December 2023. Headstones with four brands on them, credit, Shutterstock / Ruth Black, Snap Inc., Netflix, Twitter, Amazon. Nothing lasts forever, especially in Silicon Valley. Products, services, and CEOs fizzle out regularly, many without any fanfare. Other endings catch us by surprise. 10 years later, the demise of Google Reader still stings. Time marches on and corporate priorities shift. Here are the products and services that took a final bow in 2023, starting with the most headline-grabbing shutdowns and then a month-by-month breakdown. RIP Twitter, long live X. Elon Musk attends an event during the Vivatech Technology Startups and Innovation Fair. Photo by Joel Sejay /AFP via Getty Images. Elon Musk has been at the helm of Twitter for more than a year now, and perhaps his most notable move thus far is killing a name with global brand recognition in favor of a letter more commonly associated with adult content. The transition started in April when Twitter was merged into X Corporation, Musk's umbrella company. Several months later, in the middle of the night, Musk announced that soon we shall bid adieu to the Twitter brand and, gradually, all the birds. It wasn't immediately clear if he was being serious. Musk has a history of posting spur-of-the-moment tweets that would give even the most seasoned of legal and comms teams a coronary. But he was indeed serious this time, and in a matter of weeks, the bird logo was replaced with a black and white X, tweets were renamed posts, and 15-plus years of brand building went up in smoke. We're currently in that limbo state where every news story about the company refers to it as Twitter /X or X, previously Twitter. And while the core service lives on, it's certainly not the same pre-Musk Twitter. The company's API crackdown meant the end of third-party clients like Twitterific. Meanwhile, the demise of legacy checkmark accounts and the ability to purchase verification has made it difficult to know whether an account is legitimate. Musk's free speech stance means some of the internet's most vile characters are once again on our timelines. And by telling his top advertisers to fuck off after they jumped ship over his anti-Semitic tweets, Musk isn't exactly helping the company pay off its massive debts. Let the chips fall where they may, Musk said recently. Check back next year to see how that pans out. Dead air, Clubhouse clones fade away. In the early days of the pandemic, when Zoom happy hours and sourdough starters proliferated, Clubhouse burst onto the scene with an app that facilitated audio-only chats between groups large and small. Tech giants quickly churned out their own Clubhouse clones, but these party-line throwbacks were not long for this world. Facebook was the first to go, ditching its live audio rooms in December 2022, but 2023 also saw the end of Reddit Talk, Spotify Live, and Amazon's live radio DJ AMP app. X Spaces is still around, though presidential hopefuls may not want to rely on it for campaign launches. Advertising content from Walmart. Gift it or get it, Holiday Tech Gifts Edition. Walmart has tons of tech gifts this holiday season, but would you rather gift them or get them for yourself? Netflix's DVD business. After 25 years, Netflix's DVD business said goodbye this year, as the company formally shifted all its attention to streaming. The final DVDs went out on in September, and it let existing members hang on to up to 10 DVDs for old-time sake. The move came as brick-and-mortar retailers scaled back their DVD inventories. In October, Best Buy said it would end DVD and Blu-ray disc sales in 2024. You can still grab them online at various retailers, and data suggests people aren't quite ready to fully abandon DVDs, driven in part by the nostalgia and collectability of physical media, according to analyst firm Circana. Holding onto your favorites in physical form is probably a good idea for movie buffs. While it may seem like any movie under the sun is available on a streaming service these days, some are yanking popular selections from their rotation to avoid hefty licensing fees. Netflix password sharing. Netflix password sharing offer. Credit Netflix. As promised, Netflix kicked off a password sharing crackdown this year. The company rolled out the option to add two extra people to your account, but at $7.99 per person per month, it likely makes more sense for moochers to get their own subscription to Netflix's $6.99 per month ad-supported tier. And that's exactly what Netflix has in mind as it eyes ways to boost subscriber numbers and revenue. There do appear to be some password sharing workarounds, mostly for those who don't use a smart TV to watch Netflix. But Netflix said in October that people should expect it to complete the crackdown in the next two quarters. January. Snap Camera App. This Snapchat app, which famously replaced a lawyer's visage with that of a kitten, took off during the pandemic as we all tried to have fun with what was then a novel concept, Zoom meetings. These days, video chats are a mundane part of office life, and no one wants to see you as a potato. Snap agreed and got rid of the app in January. Altspace VR. This social VR platform, which lets you attend live concerts, yoga sessions, and play games with friends, first announced plans to shut down in 2017, but was saved by Microsoft. This year, however, Redmond shifted its resources and Altspace VR got the axe. February. Amazon Smile logo. Credit Amazon. Amazon Smile. Launched in 2013, Amazon Smile saw Amazon donate 0.5% of the price of eligible purchases made through smile.amazon.com to charity, with consumers able to choose from over a million charitable organizations to support. On the 20th of February, however, the program shut down because it has not grown to create the impact that we had originally hoped. Amazon.
המשחק נגמר. הטכנולוגיה שמתה בשנת 2023. שנה נוספת. יבול נוסף של מוצרים ושירותים טכנולוגיים שנתקו, הופעלו ונמחקו מהאינטרנט. יוצקים אחד עבור טק כי היה הידד האחרון שלה האחרון 12 חודשים. קלואיה לבנסיוס. מאת קלואיה לבנסיוס. עדכון 20 בדצמבר 2023. מצבות עם 4 מותגים עליהן. קרדיט, שוטרסטוק חלקי רוט בלק, סנאפ אינק, נטפליקס, טוויטר, אמזון. שום דבר לא נמשך לנצח, במיוחד בעמק הסיליקון. מוצרים, שירותים, מנח להתפוגג באופן קבוע, רבים ללא כל תרועה. סיומות אחרות תופסות אותנו בהפתעה. 10 שנים מאוחר יותר, מותו של גוגל רידר עדיין עוקץ. הזמן צועד וסדרי העדיפויות של החברה משתנים. להלן המוצרים והשירותים שלקחו קשת אחרונה בשנת 2023, החל מההפסקות הכי תופסות כותרות ולאחר מכן פירוט של חודש אחר חודש. ריפ טוויטר, יחי איקס. אילון מסק משתתף באירוע במהלך יריד הסטארט-אפים והחדשנות הטכנולוגיים של ויבטק. צילום, גימל וואל סגת חלקי סוכנות הידיעות הצרפתית דרך גטה אימג'י סמך. אילון מסק עומד בראש הטוויטר כבר יותר משנה, ואולי המהלך הבולט ביותר שלו עד כה הוא הרג שם עם הכרה עולמית במותג לטובת מכתב הקשור יותר לתוכן למבוגרים. המעבר החל באפריל כאשר טוויטר התמזגה עם אקסקורפ, חברת המטריות של מסק. כמה חודשים לאחר מכן, באמצע הלילה, הודיע מסק כי בקרוב נפרדנו מהמותג טוויטר, ובהדרגה, מכל הציפורים, לא היה ברור מיד אם הוא רציני, למסק יש היסטוריה של פרסום ציוצים של הרגע שיעניקו אפילו לצוותים המשפטיים והתקשורת המנוסים ביותר כלילית. אבל הוא אכן היה רציני הפעם, ותוך מספר שבועות הוחלף לוגו הציפור ב-X שחור לבן, ציוצים יקראו מחדש פוסטים, ו-15 ועוד שנות בניית מותג עלו באשן. אנחנו כרגע במצב למבו שבו כל סיפור חדשותי על החברה מתייחס אליו כטוויטר חלקי אקס או אקס, בעבר טוויטר, ובעוד שירות הליבה חי. זה בהחלט לא אותו טוויטר טרום מוסק. הביקוי של החברה היה הסוף של לקוחות צד שלישי כמו טוויטריפיק. בינתיים, פטירתם של חשבונות סימני ביקורת מדור קודם, והיכולת לרכוש שימות הקשור על הידיעה עם חשבון לגיטימי. עמדת חופש הביטוי של מסק פירושה שחלק מהדמויות הנתאבות ביותר באינטרנט שוב נמצאות בלוחות הזמנים שלנו. ועל ידי כך שהוא אומר למפרסמים המובילים שלו להזדיין, אחרי שהם קפצו על הציוצים האנטישמיים שלו, מסק לא בדיוק עוזר לחברה לשלם את חובותיה העצומים. תנו לצ'יאפס ליפול לכאן שהם עשויים, אמר מסק לאחרונה. בדוק שוב בשנה הבאה כדי לראות איך זה מסתדר. אוויר מת, שיבוטים של מועדון מתפוגדים. בימים הראשונים של המגפה, כאשר זום שעות מאושרות ומתחילים מחמצת התפשטו, קלאב האוס פרץ למקום עם אפליקציה שהקלה על צדיק, עתים שמאיים בלבד בין קבוצות גדולות וקטנות.
Game over, la tecnologia morta nel 2023. Un altro anno, un altro raccolto di prodotti e servizi tecnologici che sono stati scollegati, spenti e cancellati dal web. Versane 1 per la tecnologia che ha avuto il suo ultimo urrà negli ultimi 12 mesi. Chloe Albanesio. Di Chloe Albanesius. Aggiornato il 20 dicembre 2023. Lapidi con 4 marchi su di loro. Credito, Shutterstock / Root Black, Snap Inch, Netflix, Twitter, Amazon. Niente dura per sempre, soprattutto nella Silicon Valley. Prodotti, servizi e CEO svaniscono regolarmente. Molti senza alcuna fanfara. Altri finali ci colgono di sorpresa. 10 anni dopo, la scomparsa di Google Reader punge ancora. Il tempo avanza e le priorità aziendali cambiano. Ecco i prodotti e i servizi che hanno preso un inchino finale nel 2023, iniziando con gli arresti più importanti e poi una ripartizione mese per mese. RIP Twitter, lunga vita decimo? Elon Musk partecipa a un evento durante la fiera VivaTech Technology Startups and Innovation. Foto di Joel Saget / AFP via Getty Images. Elon Musk è stato al timone di Twitter per più di un anno, e forse la sua mossa più notevole finora sta uccidendo un nome col riconoscimento globale del marchio a favore di una lettera più comunemente associata a contenuti per adulti. La transizione è iniziata ad aprile quando Twitter è stata fusa in X Corp, la società ombrello di Musk. Diversi mesi dopo, nel cuore della notte, Musk ha annunciato che presto daremo addio al marchio Twitter e, gradualmente, a tutti gli uccelli. Non era immediatamente chiaro se fosse serio. Musk ha una storia di postare tweet spur of the moment che darebbe anche il più esperto dei team legali e di comunicazione una coronaria. Ma era davvero serio questa volta, e nel giro di poche settimane, il logo Bird è stato sostituito con una X in bianco e nero. I tweet sono stati rinominati post e oltre 15 anni di costruzione del marchio sono andati in fumo. Siamo attualmente in quello stato limbo in cui ogni notizia sulla società si riferisce ad esso come Twitter / X o X, in precedenza Twitter. E mentre il servizio di base continua a vivere, non è certamente lo stesso Twitter pre-Musk. La repressione delle API della società ha significato la fine di client di terze parti come Twitterific. Nel frattempo, la scomparsa degli account legacy checkmark e la possibilità di acquistare la verifica ha reso difficile sapere se un account è legittimo. La posizione di libertà di parola di Musk significa che alcuni dei personaggi più vili di internet sono ancora una volta nelle nostre linee temporali. E dicendo ai suoi migliori inserzionisti di fanculo, dopo aver saltato la nave sui suoi tweet antisemiti, Musk non sta esattamente aiutando l'azienda a pagare i suoi enormi debiti. Lascia che i chip cadano dove possono, ha detto Musk di recente. Controlla l'anno prossimo per vedere come funziona. Deder, Clubhouse clone sfade away. Nei primi giorni della pandemia, quando gli happy hour di Zoom e gli antipasti a lievitazione naturale proliferavano, Clubhouse irrompeva sulla scena con un'app che facilitava le chat solo audio tra gruppi grandi e piccoli. I giganti della tecnologia hanno rapidamente sfornato i loro Clubhouse clones, ma questi ritorni di fiamma della linea del partito non erano lunghi per questo mondo. Facebook è stato il primo ad andarsene, abbandonando le sue sale audio dal vivo nel dicembre 2022, ma il 2023 ha visto anche la fine di Reddit Talk, Spotify Live e l'app Live Radio DJ Amp di Amazon. X Spaces è ancora in giro, anche se le speranze presidenziali potrebbero non voler fare affidamento su di esso per i lanci della campagna.
Hardware Awards 2023. All the year's best gaming tech. Another year done. Another crop of gadgets and gizmos to pit against each other in the Games Radar Plus Hardware Awards. 2023 was a fantastic year for PC and console alike, with a new suite of RTX 40 series graphics cards hitting the shelves and new console entries from both Microsoft and Sony. In between all that, though, we've also experienced some of the best headsets, controllers, keyboards, VR headsets, and chairs among all the other gaming tech to grace the shelves in the last 12 months. Between new innovations and further refinements of classic design, 2023 has brought some excellent new devices to the market. We've had our hands on all of it, now with the tough job of narrowing the playing field down to a handful of winners. We've got 15 categories this year, spanning gaming PCs and laptops all the way to board games and VR. The winner in each category will be a device that has truly pushed the limits of this year's tech while remaining influential in its own sphere. We've handpicked these winners after rigorous testing lasting well beyond our initial review period, so you know they can go the distance. Sponsored links. Play this game for 1 minute and see why everyone is addicted. Raid Shadow Legends. Best Gaming PC Origin Chronos V3. Origin Chronos V3. Image Credit, Future. The Origin Chronos V3 takes one of the most innovative PC cases released this year and turns it into a powerhouse pre-built capable of high-end action. Recommended videos for you. The Corsair Airflow 2000D Airflow is the first ever ITX, small form factor, chassis that's capable of fitting a full-size AIO cooler inside of it. Not only that, but it can also squeeze the biggest GPUs in it as well.
Obsolete and obsolescence are terms that have a negative connotation to most people. However, they are terms that are very relevant to business and can help you gain an edge on your competition. Why is it important to understand the concept of obsolescence and its consequences? Obsolescence is a kind of short-term consumption. The term obsolescence is used to describe a product or service that becomes obsolete or outdated within a short time period, usually a year or less. Obsolescence are used to denote the state of becoming outmoded or obsolete, or of no longer being useful. It is also used to denote the act of making something obsolete. These two concepts, obsolescence and obsolescence of a product, are closely related to the concept of technological change. Obsolete and obsolescence are related to the concept of obsolescence of a product. The more a product becomes obsolete, the more it becomes obsolescent. By definition, obsolescence is a change in function or design, or the discontinuation of a product. Obsolete and obsolescence is a concept in economics and sociology that describes the process of a product becoming obsolete. It is a concept that is used to describe the process of a product becoming obsolete. It is a concept that is used to describe the process of a product becoming obsolete. The term obsolete is used to describe a product that is no longer in use, and obsolescence is used to describe the process of a product becoming obsolete. The term obsolete is used to describe a product that is no longer in use in the field of computer science. Obsolete and obsolescence are terms used to describe the state of a computer system or software that is no longer supported by the manufacturer.
Yeah, get used to the emergency broadcast system. I think it's going to be popping out here a lot over the next year. It should be interesting to watch. I don't know, man. It's going to be fanning out here. Have those backup supplies, I'd say. And yes, the hours of rendering. When I used to do the toaster, obviously we had the Lumina stuff going on. We used to be able to build caricatures and stuff like that. Or should I say, we were actually the guys that were building the dinosaur robots for Segway way back when. So the interesting part and the hellish part about it was literally when we had to format the skin to the bones. And yes, it took either 24 hours or even more sometimes. And we'd come back and there would be something sticking out of it. So you'd have to go back and reform the skin and the bones and everything and then render it again for another 24 hours, and then you'd have to wait, and hopefully it worked. And sometimes it didn't work again, but oh my gosh, it was a nightmare. Obviously, technology taking over. Hopefully, yeah, it will be a little bit better for us. I'm just curious on how it's going to work, because editing is very specific. So, obviously, you know that. So I'm just curious on how close it's going to come. Hey, if you can get the basic editing done, that's great, and then come in and do the final edit, saving yourself a 2-3 hour span in the day, that's fantastic. And then we're going back to Mini HDV, and we're bringing back a lot of the old shows. It's including ATV, got some unreleased footage, got some Orbital, got all kinds of fun things that people haven't seen yet, and pretty excited to be showing it here over the next year or so. And onward, and you know, that's kind of where we're at. You know how it is. Technology is pretty cool. And then we got some other stuff we're working on. In fact, tomorrow we're going to find out, we're going to be sealing a deal about doing some type of cool little talent show out of Detroit City. All different styles of musical talent and cool people and stuff like that. So that's about it. And yes, the hours of rendering. When I used to do the toaster, obviously we had the Lumina stuff going on. We used to be able to build caricatures and stuff like that. Or should I say, we were actually the guys that were building the dinosaur robots for Segway way back when. So the interesting part and the hellish part about it was literally when we had to format the skin to the bones. And yes, it took either 24 hours or even more sometimes. And we'd come back and there would be something sticking out of it. So you'd have to go back and reform the skin and the bones and everything and then render it again for another 24 hours. And then you'd have to wait, and hopefully it worked. And sometimes it didn't work again. But oh my gosh, it was a nightmare. Obviously, technology taking over. Hopefully, yeah, it will be a little bit better for us. I'm just curious on how it's going to work, because editing is very specific. So, obviously, you know that. So I'm just curious on how close it's going to come. Hey, if you can get the basic editing done, that's great. And then come in and do the final edit, saving yourself a 2-3 hour span in the day. That's fantastic.
In the trees, it's windy out. The trees are all blowing around and stuff. So.
Nice.
Are you talking about that game, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons? I loved that game. That was, I think, probably my favorite game from the Intellivision back in the day.
Oh, man. Speaking of Intellivision, the guy who owns the naming right now, I just watched, like, not a documentary, but essentially a video essay about him. He is such a piece of shit. I'm trying to remember his name. Not the original guy, but the guy who owns it now.
Right, right.
Tommy Tallarico. God, what a lying fraud scumbag. There's this great, if you guys have time, there was this awesome video essay. I think the guy's name is H Bomber Guy. It's like an hour and a half about him, like, taking people, taking credit of other people's work. And, like, yeah. And it's all, like, well-sourced information and everything. It's really quite good. I found him because across my YouTube feed, it was, like, this four-hour video essay slash documentary he did about large YouTubers who do video essays that are just plagiarizing all of their work. And, like they'll be like, he'll go through a video and be like, 90% of what they've said are verbatim from these five articles that aren't sourced, like word for word from these articles.
Whoa.
You know, it would actually be really cool if they did, you know, cite their sources while they were doing it, because, like, that's a really great way to get that information out
for
of
sure.
people, right? It's a great medium to do that, but just, like, let them know where you're getting this information.
Some of it, like,
I'm
so citing,
I'm quoting this article in this section.
Yeah, one of them is like, yeah, it's never coming out.
You know, even if it did, I just don't know if, like, you know, they wanted to go into a new direction, and I'm just not sure if you can mess with classic. Like, to me, as much as I loved the original machine, I don't know if the new machine appealed to me, especially at its price point. Like, they wanted an expensive machine that would offer new games that were inspired by the original system. And I just thought, you know what? No. I mean,
and
I would be willing
to... capabilities either.
First console I played on, I have to be honest with you, it didn't age well for me. Anytime I tried to go back to it, it was just not great, man. The television and the original NES are the consoles that I can go back to anytime. And, you know, I still love them. 2600, I know this is like heresy to some, but it, for me, it just did not age well, as much as I loved it back when I was a kid. The 7800 I never owned, so I did play some of the 7800 games on the emulator, and I think it's really cool what the 7800 was capable of, but it doesn't hit that nostalgia button for me because I never owned one, never even touched one. Well, you mean the ROMs, right? Well, yeah, when I said I never touched one, I guess I mean I didn't have one when I was a kid, or I didn't play one with any friends when I was a kid. I have all the ROMs. I play them all the time. And like I said, what the system's capable of is cool, but it doesn't hit that nostalgia button for me because it wasn't a system I actually played back in the day. That's all. I would say, you know, I mean, I loved my 2600, I loved my Intellivision, I loved my NES. I loved my NES so much that I didn't even bother to get a Super Nintendo or a Genesis. I went to PC gaming in that era. Yep. Nope, because I loved my NES and I loved my NES games, and when it came time to move to a new gaming system, I switched to PC. Well, heck, I had a 286 back when I was like 12. Yeah, it was a big deal. Well, imagine that. You didn't even need the math coprocessor. Atari what? No, what's that?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Where it's like a pie.
Oh, I got the Nintendo and the Genesis. I got those little mini.
You're talking about the one that's basically just a controller with a cable on it, and it's so simple that it's battery operated.
No, it's a little console. It's probably like a Raspberry Pi in there.
Oh,
right. That has
okay.
a bunch of emulators
okay.
on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I bought the NES and the Super Nintendo and flashed.
I got
them
it mostly because of the fucking controllers.
All the games.
It's like the legit old school controllers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got those. I picked them up for cheap at Walmart once. I was like, oh, what the hell? Because at that time I didn't have the emulators and all that. So
you can, the NES and the Super Nintendo one, you can flash them, run it off of a USB and put on every game and play every game with a True Light controller.
Yeah.
One of the programs actually, Nintendo got shut down with a cease and desist. Because of course they did. They're fucking dead.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked it just because it had the legit controllers with it. So I was like, why not? That's because I love the SNES controller.
Oh yeah, there's never been a better controller. In my opinion.
That's one of the tops. PlayStation. Between those two, the PlayStation and the fucking SNES. Oh. Such good
Although
controllers.
I say that, I don't think I've loved the controller more than the Xbox 360 controller.
That one's nice. That's what I got for my computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm bougie and I run with an Xbox Elite.
Yeah,
with the back panels and everything.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Both my fucking controllers are got wandering fucking analog sticks. Fucking pisses me off.
I have one of the Razer ones for the Xbox Elite. The computer. The Wolverine edition.
I think the amount of money I've spent on controllers. I think we have three Elites in the house. Elite V2s.
Jeez.
So it's like they're like $140-something controllers.
$160
controllers. Yeah.
I won't spend that much because the analog sticks can go fucking so easily.
I think I got mine for $80.
Was it a V1 though?
Maybe. I don't know.
The V2s now they've come down. I think they're like 120, but
I just can't spend that much because I know analog sticks wear out so easily.
Yeah, one of mine, the analog sticks went. That being said, I did play like 230 hours of Apex Legends with it. So that is a analog stick intensive game.
Yeah.
The FPS FPS shooter.
Yeah.
What do you mean, what should you do with it? Well,
not much you can do. Nobody's going to buy it. I doubt it.
Well, now hang on.
Oh, I got
one.
No. People are buying 360s.
Are they?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
360s
are in demand, really?
There's a community like working on trying to crack them at the moment because the Xbox 360 store is shut down, which means that they don't have any basically parental oversight coming from Microsoft anymore.
Huh.
So people are trying to crack them and like run them.
It might
like,
be
360,
worth some money.
360 emulation
sure
machines.
I think my boys got it still.
Yeah, mine's right under my TV. It's hooked up.
I haven't
put it up in probably 2 years. It might.
A couple of Guitar Hero guitars, and that's it. But I have it all in storage.
It's a good console. Probably one of the better Xbox consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was peak Xbox for sure.
Yeah. Well, get into figuring out how to crack it like the rest of them are.
Yeah, I know there's a community like right alley. Now, like, really trying to work on jailbreaking 360s to turn them into, like, emulation machines. Not anymore. Not anymore. No. No, it's all done with flash drives now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice console.
360 is still great.
Yeah, I did not think the jump to the Expo one was worth it at all. So I never did.
Oh, I bought a day one Xbox One, and then the hard drive fried like within a week.
Oh, that was the Red Ring of Death, wasn't it?
No. This is an Xbox One, not the 360.
Oh, okay.
But it was still under warranty, so I went to GameStop. They just gave me a new one.
Nice.
Well, there was an issue in like the whole hard drive fried. And like you couldn't access it, and nothing would save on the hard drive, and it was essentially just DOA. Yeah, like within a week.
Which is, I mean, good if you're gonna have it be defective. You want to be defective right away.
Hell, I think the 360 was the last console I ever bought. I got the Switch for free buying something from Helzberg Diamonds.
Yeah, I got a Switch, and I got a PS4 late in the PS4 cycle because I wanted to play Spider-Man, when that was supposed to be just an exclusive to the PS4, but they eventually brought it to PC, so I didn't really need to, but...
Oh, yeah. I'll never buy it. My console days are gone. I'm staying on PC, and that's it.
But I also, oh yeah, I mostly just PC game too. Like that's
well, I'm,
what it's all about.
You can well, do unless all of you it. Consider. I might get a Steam Deck someday. I don't know if you consider that a console. That's a handheld.
No,
so
no, that's a
PC
that's a
handheld.
Yeah, that's a laptop.
Just very small laptop. Yeah, I'd like to too, but I just can't.
Yeah, no, I just got a. I just bought a Steam Deck a few weeks ago because right before the new ones were released, they were, and I didn't know the new ones were coming, but yeah, I got it for like 40% off because they're probably trying to get rid of stock because they're like, oh, new ones coming out, and it's fucking great. It's great. I think one of the versions was about 300, but I got the one that was 450, which is the highest, had the most memory.
Introducing Steam Deck OLED.
Yep.
That's the new one, huh?
No, I have the...
Oh my god, for the 512 gig on this, $550. Oh, there's a 1 terabyte for $650.
That's still crazy cheap for the hardware you're getting.
Yeah, but still, that's a...
It's one of the best gaming laptops you can get, and a gaming laptop will run you $1,400.
Yeah, but you get a lot bigger than a 7.5-inch screen.
But you can hook it up, no problem, to a monitor.
True. Okay, I don't want to see this one. Where's the old ones? They'll have the old ones, I'd imagine.
Unless they're sold out, yeah. The old ones are way way down in price from what they were.
I just want to see what they're going for. Oh, 80 bucks. To get the docking station alone, huh? 80 bucks for the docking station? Really?
Yeah, that's worth it. And you don't need to get their docking station, but I did because I wanted it to work really well and not have any issues for sure.
So it was the 256 gig one, the only one they had for the Steam Deck?
No, there were three models.
Oh, they must be out of the other ones then.
Maybe.
It's the only one they're showing that's LCD. It's the 256 gig.
Yeah, I think mine's 512.
Yeah, $400 just for that one. I think 256 gigs is good. You can get a few games on there.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta rotate them.
Right. Yeah, and even if you put like one, you know, if you put really big games on there, you can get two like huge games on there if you want to.
It's got like
stuff that you want to play multiple, then you can. There's a ton of games that are like
shit, doesn't it?
Yep.
Does it have an SD slot?
It has an SD slot. Yep.
But you can get a big ass SD card too.
Exactly.
I'd imagine I probably wouldn't have more than one or two to three games on there, anyways. $400. That's not. What did you pay for yours?
I think 450.
For the 512?
Yeah.
Yeah. This ain't saying there's anything off it, but
I think it's 512. Right. So they're not on sale anymore, but they are just reduced in price in general right now.
Yeah.
From what they're
worth. $400. That's
they're all like $100 cheaper than they had been before the OLED came out. The day the old OLED came out, those all dropped by like $100.
What if they're on Amazon anywhere? I can find it on Amazon. Yeah, hide it from my wife. The Commodore 64.
No, of course not.
No, that's horrible. What are you doing?
It all depends on what your priorities are. It's kind of like I said before, you know, like I love all that hardware. I really do. I just don't want to store it, which is why I don't have it. But, like, I think it's great, you know, when I get on, you know, with some of your guys up there in T-Pug, you know, I see lots of them have collections of hardware. They're really committed to it. They love the hardware, you know. You can't replace that if you like having the physical machine, and that, especially if that's, like, nostalgic for you. You just can't. You just have to decide what you want to store and maintain and what you don't. Oh, I do, you know, and I mentioned that to, I don't remember his name, I'm sorry, but there was this one guy in particular that must have had like 50 Commodore PETs on all the shelves around him, and that was not just his, was that who that was? yes, that, I think you're right. He's got quite a collection there. Yeah.
Rick was telling us about that, yeah.
Got a picture, yeah, put it in TeamSpeak. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. Sorry, there was a weird noise around my house, and I wasn't sure what it was. It was a dog barking. It had a weird bark.
I heard something that sounded like a beer being opened. Was that what it was?
That was not me.
That would have been, that would have probably been me.
Well, you'd have been hearing the same noise out of me, except mine have screw tops.
I like people to know. Those old machines take up space, man. They do.
Yeah, you gotta do. You gotta make a choice.
That's why Jonah gave you a lot of his old shit. He's like,
yeah. Well, heck, I remember there was this guy named Raymond. He used to have this business called Raymond Computer, and he had like. He had 500 square feet in a warehouse on University Avenue, just full of Commodore stuff.
Oh,
and I remember
God.
We helped him move. Yeah, dude. I mean, it was shelves and shelves.
Wow.
We actually helped him move it. And that's the funny thing is, you know, that stuff does have value. Like, he sold the stuff, but he didn't move a lot of inventory. I think to a certain extent, he just couldn't get rid of it because he loved the hardware, and so he downsized a little bit, but we probably had to move 3/4 of it because, you know, University Avenue real estate there is not cheap, so we basically helped him move kind of out to the suburbs, but he still kept a majority of that stuff, and I don't think he sold it very fast, and I haven't talked to Raymond since then, honestly, so I don't really know, you know. Oh, so you know the guy. That doesn't surprise me too much. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't talked to Raymond since I helped him move that stuff. And that was probably, that may have been 15 years ago now. So I've not personally talked to him since then.
Yeah.
I heard the link chime, but I'm just on my mobile phone right now. So I'd have to go look so I can click on it.
Oh, there it is. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Is that an S-Video plugin?
No.
What
is that? That the floppy emulator, did you say? You know, so
I'm more intrigued
with
the plugin there. That's... Oh,
I can't say that I could recite it off the top of my head, but I remember looking at in detail how this circuit worked and how that drive worked because Jonah and I were looking at this one day.
Huh, that is really interesting.
It's actually a, if I remember correctly, it's a 5-pin DIN that provides a serial interface.
All right.
Wow, ding, ding. Yeah, that's... You get 2 internet points today.
Right? Shit. Don't spend them all in one place. That's fucking crazy. Wow. That's kind of amazing. Just the fact that you could put something on floppy still. That's freaking nuts. That is crazy. That's just wow. That's fucking nuts.
The thing about
still be utilized. That blows my mind, really.
I mean, our nuclear systems run on floppy disks still.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Which is a horrifying thought.
Right. It doesn't so much surprise me that it's possible, but that someone put the time into doing it is
that's insane. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
like the technology is definitely there, but.
It's more like the fact that you would fucking bother, that somebody would take the time to bother to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, that's why to me it's blowing. Because I remember, man, I used to stick a goddamn floppy disk in the fucking computers back in the day. It's crazy.
Thankfully, before my time.
I did a little Apple II, so I saw some of the actual floppies, and then there was a lot of hard floppies when I was a kid.
Well, see,
it wasn't fully before your time, Jake.
That's the thing. I remember, you know, the actual floppy disk, then the hard disk, that hard one that was a little bit better. And I've watched all of this. That's why it's kind of cool that I've seen all of this. Fucking progress to where it is, and the fact that people are still taking the time to even utilize a fucking floppy disk anymore, because they're so hardcore and love this shit. That's why I was amazed by this.
The
funny thing about this system is what your bottleneck is. So keep in mind that this is a serial interface; it's limited by a clock speed. And so you actually can't load the software any faster, even though this system is capable of reading from that media at somewhere between 5 and 50 megabytes per second. You can still only get, you know, what is it? 9,600 bits per second or something.
That serial interface. So I imagine it probably takes a while to even transfer anything. I'd imagine.
It takes probably about the same amount of time it took to get it off the disk initially.
Yeah.
That's the funny part.
So
it really doesn't
go
much faster that I remember.
It's kind of mind-blowing to me right now, just the fact that I didn't even know this existed at any point. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. To me, it's crazy because it's the first I've heard about it.
Yeah I think Jonah had talked about it before. So, when I was at his place, when he got his Commodore 64.
That's nuts. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty insane that the software available for the Commodore to interface with so many of these at one time. That's pretty crazy.
This old school shit. All I did on my Commodore 64 was play a couple games. It That's all I knew it could do. I wasn't a, I didn't get too terribly nerdy for until about the time the 386s came out, I think. I got kind of nerdy, but not nerdy like Jonah and everybody else. Only got kind of nerdy.
Like Jonah, Nico, and Rick, you mean?
Yeah.
And maybe Mike.
I had consoles. Consoles kind of still just took me. They're winning. Yep, I'm serious.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are different drives you have hooked up. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Directory, program. Programs, program, directory. Wow. I'll be damned.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, why is there a guy with a hard hat? That drew my attention was the guy with the hard hat and the safety vest.
So a TV like that definitely reminds me of my childhood. Like that's
old. You got a fucking VHS fucking TV.
Yup.
Those were the shit if you could get them back in the day. Yeah, that sounds about right. It has the connections you need. You can pop in an old VHS.
Well, and ultimately, if it was about having the original hardware, nothing would beat an original Commodore composite monitor. I mean, that's kind of the ultimate.
And
right. Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those composite monitors were expensive at the time. Most people like me just used a television,
yep.
But they were the ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. Good choice. Definitely. Good choice.
Oh, no, good choice. For sure. Yeah. For sure. Because
traveling, take the $5 fucking TV from Goodwill.
Because I mean, when I had one of these computers, you know, I was hooking it up to the back with the game switch that had the channel 3, channel 4 switch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the one that had a screw into the antenna slot?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
I also seeing just the yellow and red going to it is like, oh, they didn't even make the time to or have the space to put in the third audio channel or second audio channel.
There was a couple times when we moved and shit got lost. And it was like, where the fuck is that screw and adapter? What the fuck happened to that? Like fucking searching everywhere to find that screw and adapter. All right, got it. Gotta get. Oh, where's the fucking screwdriver? I got a knife. I got a butter knife.
Yep.
The shit we had to go through back in the day. It's just to get shit to go. Oh, shit. Is it switched to the right one? Is it on 3 or 4? Fuck. Got a blow in the cartridge. Yep. Oh, the troubles we had. Just to get shit to go. Oh, God, these kids nowadays don't even understand. Crap we had to go through just to get it to work properly. Okay. Ooh, September 11th. Guys got to pick a better day, huh?
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday. I don't know if I'm nerdy enough for that shit.
Yes, it's every year on September 11th on the top floor of the Willis Tower in Chicago.
I'm going to pass. Square. I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Too soon, Rick. Too soon.
It was 22 fucking years ago.
Got it. Yeah, Jonathan, I know my boy was born 19 days before it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 19 days. I lost my shit. I was like, one of the first things I said was like, what did I fucking bring my boy into?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a fucking nutty day, man. We all know.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically our Arbor Harbor.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was.
Jonathan, what were you in, like, third grade?
Hardware Awards 2023, die besten Gaming-Technologien des Jahres. Ein weiteres Jahr ist vorbei, eine weitere Reihe von Gadgets und Gizmos, die bei den Gamesradar und Hardware Awards gegeneinander antreten. 2023 war ein fantastisches Jahr für PC und Konsolen gleichermaßen mit einer neuen Suite von Grafikkarten der RTX 40 Serie, die in die Regale kamen und neuen Konsoleneinträgen von Microsoft und Sony. Dazwischen haben wir aber auch einige der besten Headsets, Controller, Tastaturen, VR-Headsets und Stühle unter all den anderen Gaming-Technologien erlebt, die in den letzten 12 Monaten in den Regalen standen. Zwischen neuen Innovationen und weiteren Verfeinerungen des klassischen Designs hat 2023 einige hervorragende neue Geräte auf den Markt gebracht. Wir haben alles in den Händen, jetzt mit der schwierigen Aufgabe, das Spielfeld auf eine Handvoll Gewinner einzugrenzen. Wir haben dieses Jahr 15 Kategorien, die Gaming-PCs und Laptops bis hin zu Brettspielen und VR umfassen. Der Gewinner in jeder Kategorie wird ein Gerät sein, das die Grenzen der diesjährigen Technologie wirklich überschritten hat und gleichzeitig in seinem eigenen Bereich einflussreich bleibt. Wir haben die Gewinner nach strengen Tests ausgewählt, die weit über unseren ersten Überprüfungszeitraum hinausgingen, damit sie wissen, dass sie die Distanz überwinden können. Gesponserte Links. Spielen Sie das Spiel eine Minute lang und sehen Sie, warum jeder süchtig ist. Schlachtzugschattenlegende. Bester Gaming-PC, Ursprung Kranös V3. Herkunft Kranös V3. Bildnachweis Zukunft. Der Origin Kranös V3 nimmt eines der innovativsten PC-Gehäuse, die dieses Jahr auf den Markt kamen, und verwandelt es in ein Kraftpaket, das für High-End-Action geeignet ist. Empfohlene Videos für Sie. Der Corsair Airflow 2000 Airflow ist das erste ITX-Gehäuse Small Form Factor, in das ein IO-Kühler in voller Grösse eingebaut werden kann. Nicht nur das, sondern es kann auch die grössten GPUs darin quetschen, während die kühle Luft dank der vollmaschigen Wände zirkuliert. Unser Testmodell hat ein RTX 4080 darin gepackt, was bedeutet, dass sie mehr als in der Lage war, die anspruchsvollsten modernen Spiele zu bewältigen und sie mit hohen Bildraten in 4K auszuspucken. Verstehen Sie uns jetzt nicht falsch, wir haben schon mächtige PCs in kleinen Gehäusen gesehen. Die Corsair Wohnlinie gibt es schon eine Weile und der Acer Predator Orion X setzt den Mantel des kleinen Formfaktors fort, aber die Effizienz, der Stil und die Sins Kranös V3 haben die Konkurrenz in diesem Jahr in den Schatten gestellt. Während Origins ursprüngliche Gehäusedesign von Corsair geringfügig modifizierte, ist der PC ein Beweis für die Synergie zwischen den beiden Marken. Die Leistung, die in diesem wunderschönen Gehäuse steckt, macht es zu einem herausragenden Produkt für diejenigen, die nicht möchten, dass ein Gaming-PC die Immobilien eines Setups dominiert. In Bezug auf Innovation, Leistung und Design ist dies der beste Gaming-PC, den wir 2023 getestet haben. Zweiter Platz. Acer Raubtier Orion 7000223. Es ist immer grossartig zu sehen, wie vorhandene Gaming-PCs ihre Motherboards aktualisieren, um sich auf eine neue Generation aufzufrischen. Die Predator Orion 7000-Reihe ist seit einiger Zeit ein Favorit von uns, daher ist die Möglichkeit, DDR5, RAM und die neuesten Intel-Prozessoren unterzubringen, ein grosser Segen. Ärgerlicherweise verpasste der neue Orion in diesem Jahr unseren Spitzenplatz aufgrund seiner widerlich lauten Lüfter und seiner Unfähigkeit, die DDR5-Geschwindigkeiten anzupassen. Bester Gaming-Laptop, Asus ROG Zephyrus G14. Asus ROG Zephyrus G14 Hardware-Auszeichnungen. Bildnachweis Zukunft. In einer wettbewerbsintensiven Landschaft konnte sich der Asus ROG Zephyrus G14 auch 2023 noch von der Masse abheben. 2023 brachte eine neue Reihe von Asus RIGs auf den Markt, aber das Modell, das am meisten von Intels Prozessoren der 13. Generation und Nvidias RTX 40 Grafik der Serie profitierte, war das 14-Zoll Wunder, das Asus ROG Zephyrus G14. Dies ist der beste Gaming-Laptop für alle, die das Gleichgewicht zwischen Portabilität und Leistung finden möchten. Schockierend, es nagelt beides und wir würden argumentieren, dass dies ein beträchtlicher Markt ist. Wenn Sie alles auf Leistung setzen, würde sich ein Gaming-PC ansehen, zu weit in die andere Richtung gehen und Sie sollten wirklich nach einem Gaming-Handheld suchen. Die Position des Gaming-Laptops auf dem Markt wurde in diesem Jahr von beiden Seiten infrage gestellt. PCs sind leistungsfähiger als je zuvor und mit mehreren PC-Handhelds, die in die Regale kommen, ist es durchaus möglich, mit einem vollen Rig in der Tasche herumzulaufen. Das Asus ROG Zephyrus G14 mit seinem mühelosen Ansatz für kompakte Leistung glänzt mit der zusätzlichen Konkurrenz im Schlepptau immer heller. Es musste besonders hart arbeiten, um seinen Wert im Jahr 2023 zu beweisen. Was bei grösseren 18-Zoll Maschinen mit unglaublichen RTX 4090 Moloch-Komponenten der Fall ist. Aber mit einem Mini-LED-Display, High-End-Komponenten, sie im kompakten Rigs einfach nicht sehen und einer superglatten Bauweise hat das Asus ROG Zephyrus G14 bewiesen, dass sie die Frameraten nicht verkleinern müssen, um ein vollwertiges Gaming-Rig in ihrem Rucksack zu behalten. Dies war das Jahr, in dem Asus das beweisen musste und das in einem grossartigen Paket. Zweiter Platz. Asus ROG Strix Narbe 16. Das Asus ROG Strix Car 16 steht ganz oben in unserem Testpool und bietet unglaubliche Leistung und ein äußerst beeindruckendes Display. Dies war einer der ersten Gaming-Laptops der RTX 40-Serie, die wir bei GamesRadar und getestet haben und wir sind noch auf einen anderen gestossen, der bei der Implementierung der High-End-Spezifikationen auf die gleiche Weise begeistert ist. Von dem RGB-beladenen Gehäuse bis zum super lebendigen Mini-LED-HDR-Bildschirm ist dieses Ding ein Biest. Bester Gaming-Handheld, Asus ROG Verbündeter. Asus ROG Eli Hardware Auszeichnungen. Bildnachweis Zukunft. Der Asus ROG Eli kam im Sommer an, um das mächtige Steam Deck zu übernehmen und obwohl es beim Start nicht perfekt war, sitzt es jetzt hübsch auf dem Handheld-Thron. Ursprünglich als April-Scherz-Gag gerahmt, fühlt sich der Asus ROG Eli immer noch zu gut an, um wahr zu sein. Mit voller PC-Spielekompatibilität dank Windows 11, einem 120 Hz, 1080p Display und einer der schnellsten AMD-APUs auf dem Markt ist der beste Gaming-Handheld-Anwärter mehr als nur eine Steam-Deck-Alternative. Obwohl es beim Start einige Probleme gab, hat es im Laufe des Jahres 2023 geschafft, seine Macken auszubügeln und bietet jetzt tragbare Premium-Funktionen für weit weniger als die Ayaneo 2S oder konkurrierende Onyx-Player-Geräte. Es ist erwähnenswert, dass es zwei Versionen des Asus ROG Ally gibt und unsere Auszeichnung geht natürlich an die AMD Ryzen Z als extreme Version. Der Chip hat die Leistungserwartungen, die ursprünglich vom Steam Deck gesetzt wurden, effektiv übertroffen und während Valves tragbares Kraftpaket immer noch ordentliche Frameraten erzielen kann, legt der Ally die Messlatte auch beim Ausführen der neuesten Spiele immer höher. Steam Deck hat möglicherweise die Schlüsse des Handheld-Gaming-PCs geöffnet, aber der Asus ROG Ally ist das Gerät, das einen weiter verbreiteten Sturm ausgelöst hat. Es besteht jede Chance, dass 2024 ein weiteres tragbares Gerät den Verbündeten um den Thron herausfordert und wir freuen uns darauf, dass Rivalen mit höheren Spezifikationen.
Ach du, hallo, ich bin hier von 3, toute les meilleures technologies de jeu de l'année. Une autre année terminée, une autre récolte de gadgets et de gadgets à opposer les uns aux autres dans les Game Radar plus Hardware Awards. 2023 a été une année fantastique pour PC et consoles, avec une nouvelle suite de cartes graphiques RTX série 40 sur les tablettes et de nouvelles rentrées sur consoles de Microsoft et Sony. Entre tout cela, cependant, nous avons également expérimenté certains des meilleurs casques, contrôleurs, claviers, casque VR et chaise parmi toutes les autres technologies de jeu qui ont honoré les étagères au cours des 12 derniers mois. Entre nouvelles innovations et améliorations supplémentaires du design classique, 2023 a mis sur le marché d'excellents nouveaux appareils. Nous avons mis la main sur tout cela, maintenant avec la tâche difficile de réduire le terrain de jeu à une poignée de gagnants. Nous avons 15 catégories cette année, couvrant les PC et ordinateurs portables de jeu jusqu'aux jeux de société et à la réalité virtuelle. Le gagnant dans chaque catégorie sera un appareil qui a vraiment repoussé les limites de la technologie de cette année tout en restant influent dans sa propre sphère. Nous avons sélectionné ces gagnants à la main après des tests rigoureux qui ont duré bien au-delà de notre période d'examen initiale. Vous savez donc qu'ils peuvent tenir la distance. Bien sponsorisé. Jouez à ce jeu pendant une minute et voyez pourquoi tout le monde est accro. Red Legend de l'ombre. Meilleur PC de jeu, Origin Chrono V3. Origin Chrono V3. Crédit d'image, futur. L'Origin Chrono V3 reprend l'un des boîtiers PC les plus innovants sortis cette année et le transforme en une préconstruction puissante capable d'une action haut de gamme. Vidéo recommandée pour vous. Le Corsair Airflow 2000 des Airflow est le tout premier châssis ITX, Small Form Factor, capable d'accueillir un refroidisseur IO pleine grandeur à l'intérieur. Non seulement cela, mais il peut également y insérer les plus gros GPU, tout en gardant de l'air frais circulant à travers lui grâce à des parois entièrement grillagées. Notre modèle d'examen contenait un RTX 4080, ce qui signifie qu'il était plus que capable de gérer les jeux modernes les plus exigeants et de les cracher en 4K avec des fréquences d'images élevées. Maintenant, ne vous méprenez pas, nous avons déjà vu de puissants PC dans de petits boîtiers. La ligne Corsair One existe depuis un certain temps, et l'Acer Predator Orion X porte le manteau à petits facteurs de forme, mais l'efficacité, le style et le design du Chrono V3 ont surpassé la concurrence cette année. Alors qu'Origin a légèrement modifié le design du châssis d'origine de Corsair, ce PC témoigne de la synergie entre les deux marques. La puissance qui a été emballée dans ce magnifique boîtier.
Hardware Awards 2023, årets bästa spelteknik. Ett annat år gjort, en annan gröda av prylar och gizmos att gropa mot varandra i Games Radar plus Hardware Awards. 2023 var ett fantastiskt år för både PC och konsol. Med en ny serie grafikkort i RTX 40-serien som träffade hyllorna och nya konsolposter från både Microsoft och Sony. Mellan allt detta har vi dock också upplevt några av de bästa headseten, kontrollerna, tangentborden, VR-headseten och stolarna bland alla andra speltekniker för att pryda hyllorna under de senaste 12 månaderna. Mellan nya innovationer och ytterligare förfiningar av klassisk design har 2023 tagit några utmärkta nya enheter till marknaden. Vi har haft våra händer på allt, nu med det tuffa jobbet att minska spelplanen ner till en handfull vinnare. Vi har 15 kategorier i år, som spänner över speldatorer och bärbara datorer hela vägen till brädspel och VR. Vinnaren i varje kategori kommer att vara en enhet som verkligen har drivit gränserna för årets teknik samtidigt som den är inflytelserik i sin egen sfär. Vi har handplockat dessa vinnare efter rigorösa tester som varar långt bortom vår första granskningsperiod, så du vet att de kan gå avståndet. Sponsrade länkar. Spela detta spel i en minut och se varför alla är beroende. Raid Shadow of Legends. Bästa spel PC Origin Chronos V3. Origin Chronos V3. Bildkälla. Future. Origin Chronos V3 tar ett av de mest innovativa PC-fodralen som släpptes i år och förvandlar det till ett kraftpaket som kan byggas i high-end action. Rekommenderade videor för dig. Corsair Ivlov 2000 Dom Ivlov är det första ITX-chassit, small form faktor, som kan passa en AIO-kylare i full storlek inuti den. Inte bara det, men det kan också pressa de största GPU. Ena är det också, samtidigt som sval luft cirkulerar genom det tack vare fulla nätväggar. Vår recensionsmodell packade en RTX 4080 inuti den, vilket betyder att den var mer än kapabel att hantera de mest krävande moderna spelen och spotta ut dem i 4K med höga bildhastigheter. Missförstå oss inte nu, vi har sett mäktiga datorer i små fall tidigare. Corsair VAN-linjen har funnits ett tag, och Acer Predator Orion expert på den lilla formfaktormanteln. Men effektiviteten, stilen och designen av Chronos V3 överträffade tävlingen i år. Medan Orgin modifierade Corsairs ursprungliga chassidesign någonsin så lite, är den här datorn ett bevis på synergin mellan de två varumärkena. Kraften som har packats in i det här underbara fodralet gör det till en standout för de som inte vill att en spel-PC ska dominera fastigheten i en installation. För innovation, kraft och design är detta den bästa speldatorn vi testade 2023. Andra plats. Acer Predator Orion 7000 2023. Det är alltid bra att se befintliga speldatorer uppdatera sina moderkort för att uppdatera sig till en ny generation. Predator Orion 7000-linjen har varit en favorit hos oss ett tag nu, så möjligheten att hysa DDR5 RAM och de senaste Intel-processorerna är en stor välsignelse. Irriterande missade den nya Orion vår topplacering i år på grund av dess motbjudande höga fans och dess oförmåga att anpassa dessa DDR5-hastigheter. Bästa gaming-laptop Asus ROG Zephyrus G14. Asus ROG Zephyrus G14.